Welcome back to another episode of In the Money. I'm Constantine Vrondopoulou with Fidelity's Trading Strategy Desk. And with me today, Tony Zhang, Chief Strategist at Options Play. Tony, it's the second week in a row that I'm hosting, and you are here, of course, as our esteemed guest. Welcome back. How are you doing?
Thank you so much, KV. I've been doing great. It's been a lot of volatility in the broader market, so really excited to break that down.
No doubt about it, Tony. As I am looking at the screen here on my last check, the S&P is about 20 points or so lower versus the lows of last Thursday when we were airing live. Looking at the TNX, which is the CBOE 10-year Treasury Yield Index, about 5 basis points lower or so. That statement does not cover the whole story, however. In dynamic capital markets, it's not only important to know what happened, but maybe even more important to understand exactly how it happened. What we do is we parse through all of these details and all of this information and try to make sure that we're carrying it forward and it's helping us make more efficient and effective decisions as traders. Tony, I know that you watch markets very closely. This past week certainly has been volatile, as you mentioned. Please walk us through some of the details that you're paying most attention to.
Yeah, thank you so much, KV. And I think the best thing to do is actually take a step back and look at the big picture, right? On Thursday last week, we had cooler than expected inflation print that really put a pretty significant shift in both the equity and bond markets, put it onto a different path, because at the beginning of this week, we were now pricing in 3 rate cuts for the rest of 2024, you know, which is a pretty significant shift from 1 cut just a few weeks ago. You know, as you mentioned, the 10-year yield, we're now below 4.2%. That's a pretty significant line in the sand. You know, we're moderating around 4.5 for a good part of, you know, last few months. The fact we're now below 4.2 is a pretty significant shift from the bond markets. And the equity markets have responded the same way. You know, we have equity markets at all-time highs with last week an unprecedented amount of participation. We've been talking about for months and months and months about how there's been a lack of participation from the equity markets, and that's not particularly healthy. We've seen a significant reversal of that here over the past week or so, and it's a continuation of that. And a good sign of that is the fact that the equal weight S&P 500, the RSP ETF, hit a new all-time high, confirming the bullish trend that we see here in the S&P 500. So, and also if you look at sector rotation, you know, a healthy amount of rotation out of technology, out of energy, out of communications into discretionary materials, industrials, financials, real estate, utilities, all the sectors that you want to see flow into as equity markets reach all-time highs, we've started seeing that. So the broader participation really speaks to a much healthier rally that we've seen here in the equity markets. But we're going into earnings season. We really need to see corporate earnings keep up with kind of the relatively high bar that's been set for earnings this particular quarter. That's one of the primary risks that I see with the overall markets, is whether or not corporate earnings can keep up, because the S&P 500 is trading at 21 times forward earnings, which on a historical basis is rich. It's on the higher end of that of the valuation curve. So, you know, corporate earnings really need to keep up with that multiple expansion in order to justify these types of valuations. That's one of the biggest risks that I see with the markets. But I think the big elephant in the room this week has really been the rhetoric out of the White House with regards to their desires to keep advanced semiconductor chips out of the hands of China. And that's obviously put a huge dent in one of the trades that have been driving this equity market, which is the semiconductors and kind of the AI theme. We've really saw the wind gets taken out of the sail of that particular trade. You know, VIX hit the 16 handle earlier this week. And the question is whether or not the dip that we've seen here over the last couple of trading sessions is an opportunity to be buying some of these semiconductor stocks. And because the overall market has certainly improved quite a bit, or is there some further downside going forward? My hunch so far, based on what I've seen in terms of price action between yesterday and today, is likely that this is more of an opportunity to buy the dip. You know, last week I mentioned the negative divergence we saw in technology. We saw that correction here this week, and I think this potentially presents that opportunity to get long some of these semiconductors at a much better valuation or a much better price than we were last week.
Yeah, Tony, you were certainly suggesting the cautious stance on US tech last week. And you were giving reasons that were both technical and fundamental in your view. I mean, here we are 1 week later, and that view has proven to be correct at the very least so far. What is important for those of you listening right now is that as traders, we have to keep an open mind. We have to stay humble. We have to consistently evaluate the information that the market is generating and have a reaction function to it. And I think that's exactly what Tony is trying to describe to us here. Tony, with this view, with this background on the macro, the indices and technicals, which part of you of the market are you going to for the first trade idea of the week?
Yeah, as I said in my macro view, you know, we really have seen a bit of a catch up from the rest of the markets, especially from some of the sectors that have lagged behind, like discretionary. And one stock that I want to look at here is Lululemon, because Lululemon was at one point kind of the darling of the retail markets, but over the last 8 months have really lost its luster. But there are some signs that the selling that we've seen in Lululemon over the past 8 months is starting to get exhausted and potentially is an opportunity for buyers to take a look or investors to take a look at Lululemon at these specific prices. Now, if we look at a chart of Lululemon, this is a stock that peaked back in December of 2023 around $500 or so, and it's declined 40% since then, you know, as equity markets reach all-time highs. So significant underperformance relative to the S&P 500. But one of the things that we should note is that over the past few months, we've seen as lower lows in the price have no longer been confirmed by lower lows in terms of momentum. And that's what we call positive divergence. Those are some signs that sellers are starting to get exhausted and that downside from here is likely potentially limited. So this is really kind of where we look at the base that's starting to form here on Lululemon. You look at the momentum starting to turn positive, and this is really a potential reversal point for this particular stock to turn from bearish back into a bullish trend. Now, if you look at the business, this is really where I think not only is the chart potentially compelling, but also the fundamentals look a lot more compelling compared to where it was 6, 7 months ago, because Lululemon's now trading at about 20 times forward earnings, which, if you consider the fact that they're expecting to grow EPS by at about 11%, revenues by about 10%, that's slightly above average compared to the S&P 500, yet it trades at a valuation that's about a 5% discount relative to the S&P 500. So net margins here are pretty strong here at 16% for a retailing stock. So if you look at the valuations, it looks quite compelling compared to the broader markets, and I think speaks to also the kind of the rebound potential that we see here for Lululemon. So the trade structure that I want to use here for Lulu is to look at selling a put vertical spread, because I want to take advantage of the fact that options premiums on Lululemon at the moment are still quite elevated. So I'm going out to the August 23rd expiration. I'm selling the 285, 270 put vertical here. Earlier today, you can collect about $4.95 for that vertical spread. Lululemon has been pretty active today. It's moved around quite a bit. But you know, as of a few minutes ago, you can collect nearly $5 for this $15 wide credit spread. And the goal here is to try to take advantage of, at the very least, a stable price here for Lulu, or potentially rebounding stock here on Lulu using a trade structure like a put vertical spread.
Yeah, Tony, you're selecting a bull put spread here, for a bullish neutral stance on Lulu. You've given some technical reasons. You've given us some fundamental reasons to potentially be bullish neutral. I can certainly say that I appreciate you selecting this particular strategy of a spread versus an outright short put, just because of the fact of how high of a price per share the stock is trading for, right? So it's a very capital intensive strategy if you're doing it cash secured without buying the long put underneath. So making it a spread makes it significantly more capital efficient. You did mention, of course, that in your opinion, options are relatively expensive. I think this would be a great opportunity for you to maybe coach up our audience on what do you mean exactly by that? How do you gauge it, and why is it important?
Yeah, that's a really good point, KB. So when we look at options, we look at the implied volatility of an option, and we compare the current implied volatility versus the implied volatility reading over the last, let's say, 1 year typically. And we typically want to see where does it stand relative to the previous year. And that's how we generally gauge. There's a metric called IV percentile. It gives you a sense for where does the current reading sit within the spread over the past year. And that gives you a good sense of whether an option is relatively cheap or relatively expensive. We generally consider anything with an IV percentile greater than 25, 30% as expensive. Anything below, 25 to 30% is relatively inexpensive. And I just want to point out, as you said, this is really about capital efficiency, right? You can sell that August 23rd 285 put for you can sell that 285 put, but the risk there on that specific trade, if you didn't buy the 270 put with it, is that you're risking in this particular case nearly $28,000 by selling that August 23rd 285 put. Not to mention, not only are you risking that amount, you also have to put up a significant amount of that amount in margin in order to hold on to a short put. If you're selling a cash secured put, you have to put up the full $28,500 to sell that cash secured put. By simply buying that 270 put for roughly $3.85, you're bringing down the total risk to just a little over $1,000 per contract from $28,000. And you're also reducing the margin requirement on the trade down to just about $1,000. So your total risk is reduced significantly. You're reducing the amount of capital that's required to get into the trade. In exchange, you give up $3.85 of potential reward, bringing down your total potential reward on this particular trade to $495 per contract. But in my opinion, by reducing your overall maximum gain by $385 per contract, but reducing your overall risk by nearly $27,000, I think is a trade-off worth taking on by using a spread rather than just outright selling a put option.
No doubt about it, Tony. By the way, those of you who are following us on this show, if you're curious about where to find the implied volatility percentile and implied volatility information, please go out to fidelity.com, click on News and Research in the middle of the page, the middle tab there, and go to Options, type in your symbol that you're interested in, and look at the Option Statistics tools on fidelity.com. You could also, of course, find this information on Active Trader Pro in various places. Don't forget, we put on a lot of coaching sessions, really talking about our tools and resources and how to use them efficiently. And you can find all that we do under fidelity.com/coaching. We'll be glad to have you. Please sign up. Tony, let's take a look at the second trade of the week. What do you got cooking there?
Yeah, I want to take a look at, there's still plenty of, I would say, industries and pockets of the market that are trading at pretty rich valuations, especially in the tech sector, that I think are still some risks. And Spotify is certainly one stock that I think fits that bill because it's enjoyed a pretty significant rally this year. But I think there are some cracks that are starting to show, and I think it's worth paying attention to. If we look at the chart here for Spotify, we've noticed that this has rallied about 130% over the past year or so, and it's been forming this base around that $300 level, a little above that level. But we've now broken below that $300 support level with underperformance relative to the S&P 500. And that's the first sign that, as momentum starts to turn bearish, that there's some cracks starting to show that investors are no longer favoring this particular company, because this is a stock that for the better half of this past year has outperformed the markets, for the past few months have failed to outperform anymore, and now is starting to underperform. So a pretty significant, I would say, what we call personality change from bullish to starting to look a little bearish. And then when you look at the overall business, this is really where it starts to make sense in terms of why investors are starting to get a little antsy about holding on to this particular stock. Because even if you go out to fiscal year 2025 estimates, the stock is trading at 40 times forward earnings. So, we know Spotify has been has spent a lot of its money on marketing and gaining market share and not focusing on profitability. But over the next couple of years, that's really what they're trying to sell is a focus on moving towards profitability. And this is part of why it trades at such high valuations. And EPS expected to grow at about 35%, but that number sounds really high because it's coming off really low base anyway. Revenues is really what I'm looking at. We're only expecting revenue to grow about 15%. And I think when you're expecting revenue to grow about 15%, yet it trades at 40 times, not just this year, but next year's earnings. Those are some of the concerns that I see in terms of Spotify meeting kind of earnings expectations, which it's reporting early next week. So the trade structure that I want to use reflects how expensive options are for Spotify. We talked about IV percentile a few minutes ago. Spotify's IV percentile is currently in the 82nd percentile. So it's extremely expensive in terms of options relative to its history. So I think the best way to take a bearish opportunity on this particular trade is to use a spread. So I'm also going out to the August 16th expiration, and I'm looking at buying the 290, 260 put vertical. So I'm paying about $16.85 for that 290 put. That's a slightly out of the money put option at the time that we put this on. And then selling the 260 puts against it, collecting nearly $6 for that put. And the goal here is to try to reduce the overall cost of outright buying a put option because of how expensive that is by effectively collecting premium and giving away any downside below that lower strike of 260. And here I'm paying about $10.95 net-net for that spread, which means my total risk on this particular trade is about $1,095. And it gives me about a 2-to-1 risk-to-reward ratio if I'm correct on my thesis here for Spotify. And by that August expiration, the stock is below 260. I'm looking at about a 2-to-1 risk-to-reward ratio, slightly under 2-to-1 risk-reward ratio on this particular trade.
Yeah, Tony, very good. I mean, obviously, a defined risk-reward trade. Risk is defined to the premium paid for this bear put spread that you're putting on. You're marrying a technical view again to some of the fundamental reasons. I think our audience members are taking a few notes. There's a theme developing here today, that's for sure, and that's your process. That's fantastic. Tony, a couple of questions for you. Given the relative short-dated nature of the expiry selection and a binary event on the nose, as you mentioned, earnings coming up, it would be very important for audience members who are taking this trade to probably stay on top of it for management purposes. I'm curious to ask, since it is a defined risk trade, how do you normally manage these things? Do you stick to your guns no matter what, because you know exactly the maximum amount that you can lose potentially? Or do you still stay on top of it and you're looking for some sort of a risk management trigger to kick off?
Well, first of all, that's a fantastic question. And to answer your question, actually, both things are true from the perspective of when you trade a defined risk strategy, you should always be mentally prepared and prepared that you could potentially lose the full maximum value of that trade. In this particular case, just a shy of $1,100 per contract, meaning you should go into this trade being comfortable that if this doesn't work out and you lost $1,100 per contract, that you have enough left in your account to continue trading, that that's not going to blow a hole in your portfolio as a result of that. So very much you need to go into the trades with that type of mindset and allocate the appropriate number of contracts based on that mindset. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that you should just simply hold on to these trades to maximum loss if the trade's not going in your favor. Especially going into a binary event like this, things can happen very quickly, and you may not have necessarily control of how far the stock could gap higher or lower on earnings. But the rule of thumb that I generally have with any type of defined risk strategy like this is to cut my losses at 50% of the premium that I've paid. So I'm paying nearly $11 per share for this debit spread. If, let's say, I was to lose about $5.50 or so on this particular debit spread, those are usually a sign that my thesis that this stock is going to move lower within the timeframe than expecting is clearly not likely going to work out. And I'm better off saving the other 50% of the premium that I have left in the trade towards my next trade rather than holding on to this trade and hoping that it will come back in my favor and turn profitable again.
Very well laid out. Tony, last week we promised our viewers to revisit the TSM, Taiwan Semiconductor Trade, post earnings. They reported earnings last night. Of course, we got some action in today's trading session here in the US, given that this is an ADR. Does it need management? What are your thoughts here? We want to make sure we keep our word for audience members here.
Yeah, thank you so much, KV, for pointing us back to this trade. I think this is actually an incredibly important trade to point to because, this is a good example where our thesis ended up being correct, right? I had a view that TSM was going to likely report strong earnings. That's exactly what we got. However, what we didn't anticipate was really kind of the news out of the White House a couple of days prior to that and their desire to kind of keep these advanced chips out of China's hands that has put a dent in the kind of this AI semiconductor trade. At the moment, TSM is trading around that 170 support level. I really am looking to see if semiconductors recover a bit from these levels because, by all measures, in the short run, these semiconductor stocks are oversold. You've seen Nvidia recover a bit today already, and I think Taiwan Semiconductors very much could be on the back end of that. Now, the put spread that we sold last week for a little over $6 is now trading at a little over $10, which is not quite enough to trigger my stop loss levels on this particular trade, which is why for now I'm holding on to this trade. I very well might in the next few days, if prices start to stabilize, I might roll this down to a lower strike price. But the overall thesis on this trade has not been invalidated in my opinion. I think if anything, what we see is just a short-term shock to the price that actually presents a potential buying opportunity for a lot of semiconductor stocks. So that's how I'm viewing it right now. And I don't think right now I'm going to take any particular action on this trade. I'm going to hold on to it a few more days. Maybe we'll come back next week and take a look at it again.
Sounds good, Tony. This brings us to a close. I want to thank our viewers for tuning in. And of course, Tony, thank you very much for bringing new and interesting ideas to us every week.
Thank you so much, KV. It's been really exciting few weeks to navigate the markets, especially as the inflation print has come out cooler than expected. We've seen a lot of significant shifts in the market that we've been talking about for months and months and months. So really excited to kind of update viewers on how that's progressing and how we're navigating the markets through that.
Very good, Tony. Hopefully everyone tunes in for next week. Don't forget, there is an In the Money follow-up hosted by the Trading Strategy Desk tomorrow at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. You can sign up for that particular session by going to fidelity.com/in-the-money-follow-up. And in the meantime, sign up for the Fidelity Active Investor newsletter to stay in the know. That's fidelity.com/Active Investor Weekly. We will see you all back here next week.
Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or, if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of characteristics and risks of standardized options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options, such as spreads, straddles, and collars, as compared with a single option trade. Foreign investments involve greater risks than U.S. investments, including political and economic risks, and the risk of currency fluctuations, all of which may be magnified in emerging markets. Trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you're most comfortable with. As with all of your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play, and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use. Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC. Copyright 2024, FMR, LLC. All rights reserved.